the chairman may designate an alternate to sit for an absent, recused, or disqualified member as may be needed to reach a quorum. When seated, the alternate has the powers and duties of a regular member, including the right to participate in all proceedings and discussions and the right to cast a vote. So, yeah, even as an alternate, once you're recognized, you sit as a regular member. So that's section, looks like it's section 551. So I'm reading here, that was an amendment in 2015, allowing the commission to have 1 to 3 alternate members.
And there's no conflict if you have the same person serving 3 different separate functions.
Well, I think in this instance, it would have, because they are given a vote, the right to cast a vote, that there perhaps would be an issue with that. See, that's the problem, because Bob, what you just said is inaccurate.
Okay.
Under the MPC. Yeah, once the chairman appoints the board, the alternate board member to sit for an absent member.
And we'll let your chairman figure this out.
All right.
They are allowed to cast a vote.
Try safe.
Good night, Jeff.
Right.
Yeah, they are allowed to cast a vote. And so that would definitely...
No, if an alternate member is acknowledged, then they act in the stead of it's simple.
Correct.
They're a simple, simple member. My question is, was Shahana's situation where there's actually 3 separate functions that she's performing, is that going to preclude her from some of her other duties, or is it going to create an issue if there is legal proceedings over an application?
Well,
are we going to take our secretary out from underneath us? Is that what I'm asking?
Yeah, and that's what might happen. What may happen is, if it's identified that she is the secretary, the applicant may well wish to recuse her from participation.
So we might.
The only issue that the MPC addresses is that obviously the alternate member could not hold another office. The alternate member cannot have. Yeah, cannot serve on the zoning hearing board or as a zoning officer. There's nothing in the MPC that precludes a secretary from serving on the planning commission. But, you know, what are you going to say to someone who says, well, you know, she's the secretary for the board also, and, you know, even though you guys are advisory, because the argument is there's no conflict because what you do is you're just making a recommendation. But if she's also the secretary for the board, I can see where someone would want to perhaps not allow her to sit and participate.
Did Viola have that problem?
Huh?
Did Viola have any such problems? Like, she was the secretary.
Well, it's not, to be perfectly honest with you, it's not fair to compare what Viola did 40 years ago or 30 years ago or 20 years ago, because the litigation and the forms of litigation and the way townships are treated is completely different than it was then.
Times have changed.
But there is no conflict of having a
right. So it's not, it's got nothing to do with that. It's just that, the whole tenet of the way these meetings run and the way the applicants, I don't want to use the right words, handle themselves is completely different. We're dealing with huge projects and a lot of money. We're not dealing with a backyard junkyard anymore. It's a different time. So that's why I'm asking. It's nothing personal.
The issue of conflict is there is no conflict under the Ethics Act or under the MPC.
Right.
Does it have an appearance of impropriety? Well, that's in the eyes of the beholder. So that if an applicant who is disclosed to that Shuhana is serving as an alternate member and has a right to vote in that proceeding, because don't forget, once the regular member comes back, the regular member can't vote on that particular issue because she's been the one that's been participating in the proceedings. It would be her vote. I don't know if do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So then that member has to follow through an entire application?
Yeah, I'll read the language to you. An alternate must serve in all proceedings involving a matter or case that was initiated when the alternate was seated until a final decision is made.
So then they have to follow the... Okay, so... Mm-hmm. So does that mean that if a regular member comes and we have a quorum plus the alternate, that the alternate still participates? So we're going to wind up with six. Then we wind up with six members.
Would it be? Yeah. Wouldn't the person that was absent at the initiation have to recuse themselves because they don't have all the information anyway?
Correct. Whoever the alternate replaces.
But that makes no sense.
Yeah, because I agree with that. That's how the MPC is written. There's a lot of things in the MPC that lawyers don't like.
Well, that makes no sense because if you miss a meeting and then you come to another meeting, you're expected to participate.
Yeah, that's correct.
So they're giving
the alternate a completely different
set of rules.
Set of rules.
And those were changed when? 2015?
But do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, I understand.
Yeah, and that's why you have to, it's a position that, yes, the alternate only serves when to meet a quorum. If you have a quorum, you don't necessarily need to appoint the alternate.
Well, not for nothing.
But if you do appoint the alternate, then that follows.
And they serve throughout the application for the person.
So you may.
I have a question. So
yes.
Let's say the alternate.
It's
no matter who it is. Let's say the alternate is there for the initiation, the initial startup of the project, the initial part of the application, and then misses two meetings thereafter, and it's not. And isn't there for the rest of the information. How does that affect?
That's a very good question. And under the way it's written in the law, the alternate would have to be given the vote at the final session where recommendation.
So if the alternate is recognized at the first meeting, misses the next two, and then the vote happens to be the next time they're expected to vote without all the information
correct.
That was missed in between.
That is so correct.
Well, if you take that's why I said that.
That's ridiculous.
Yep.
I mean,
I agree.
It is what it is, but that's ridiculous.
I agree. Because
there's been a couple times where I miss a meeting and I come in and I'm like, what?
Yeah, and quite frankly, that's why a lot of planning commissions don't have alternates.
Well, supervisors need to put something out
so
there.
So how many?
I mean, we're down a member anyway.
Yeah, we're down.
We're down a permanent member.
We're down.
They need to appoint a member.
Yes.
And they should probably appoint one alternate. In the event that you can't meet a quorum, because you've had several meetings this year where you haven't had a quorum.
So then the question is, do we do we recommend the secretary for an alternate or for a position? Or do we, see, this makes no sense the way they word that.
No, they made it.
Are you reading it now?
Very tough.
No.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to, here's what I'll do, I'll read it again, just so there's no misunderstanding. And I'll read the whole paragraph. The Planning Commission Chairman may designate an alternate to sit for an absent, recused, or disqualified member as may be needed to reach a quorum. When seated, an alternate has the powers and duties of a regular member, including the right to participate in all proceedings and discussions, and the right to cast a vote. An alternate must serve in all proceedings involving a matter or case that was initiated when the alternate was seated until a final decision is made.
Well, that right there goes to my point. Must follow through on all right. proceedings.
Yes. Now, let me ask
so,
you another.
So if the alternate doesn't show up for two of the four meetings, what does that do?
That means that the alternate probably should not be participating in the vote.
Exactly.
That would be up to the chairman.
Okay, that's just a discussion for a thought that I have. That really doesn't
matter. Yeah, because the initial thought was the appoint an alternate.
I don't have an issue with the recommendation of the secretary for the alternate position. With one proviso, that is that it should be clearly identified to the applicant that she serves as the secretary.
And is it appropriate to ask the applicant, like, to not hold us harmless for that? Do we have to say that?
As long as it's identified that. That the secretary for the planning commission is also the secretary for the board, then that would be up to the applicant to raise an objection.
Then the wisest position is to, if you do it, is to have her as an alternate, not as a regular member. Then
is that what your advice is?
Let me ask another question.
Yes.
Because I read a couple different things. And mm-hmm. I wasn't sure if I understood it correctly or not. But if she's an alternate and not seated, she still counts as a planning member, does that make the quorum? And then it said she could participate, but she doesn't have a vote.
Well, if she's not seated,
the chairman has to seat to make the quorum.
Right.
You have to listen to the first part of the...
Right.
No, you can't.
It says right. that. You call yes, whether she seats the, or not. But
that's the...
One of the sections that I read when I was looking this up, that's what it said, too. It said that she didn't have to be... She wouldn't have to be seated. The alternate doesn't have to be seated and can still participate in it.
Well, yes.
But doesn't have a vote.
The alternate can sit and participate, but in order to make quorum,
you have to be seated.
You have to be seated.
Okay, that's what my question was.
Yeah. So what you're saying is let the alternate participate other than public participation. They participate with the board, whether mm-hmm. they're seated or not.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
When an alternate appears at the meeting, they can participate in the proceeding, they just can't vote.
Okay. So then, and they're suggesting two alternates?
I believe that's what they said at the meeting last Monday. Shahada, correct me if I'm wrong, but did they suggest two alternates?
Right.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Bob, that your recollection?
Yeah, it's mine too.
Yeah. Kevin, you came
in. In all reality, when we had five people, we didn't have a problem meeting a quorum until Michael's job changed his hours.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true.
And Roman, with all the problems they had with having the baby, that's why he wasn't here for the last month, but he got busy with work beforehand. Like tonight, he had to go down to Wildwood. He called me before the meeting and told me he's stuck in traffic. And his GPS said he wouldn't be here till 7:45.
Yeah, well, that's perfectly understandable, but that's the way the MPC is written, so.
Okay.
So why don't you move it up to the board and let them decide what they want to do?
Is that where you want to go?
Yeah, I mean, it's ultimately it's their decision anyway.
Right,
so.
And we don't.
And we can explain the situation.
Okay.
At that
point. Yeah, just have that paragraph handy.
Oh, I will. Thanks, Greg.
So then, but the Board of Supervisors is going to ask for our recommendation. Is that what they're going to do anyway?
Yes.
So our recommendation is that at the given the way I understand it, do we have a motion that we recommend that they appoint Shauna as an alternate member?
Sure. We got to do something.
I thought we couldn't vote tonight.
Oh, yeah, we can't vote.
No, all right. That's right. Tonight's a workshop.
Yep.
Okay. So.
Good catch, Bob.
You're voting on the 28th.
Okay. So then that doesn't seem to, unless there's something that changed, we have a different understanding, and that's the way we'll leave it.
My only concern is that it's going to get us in trouble.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, my only concern is that we would get if something like you said, times have changed.
Well, it's
something's going to get us in trouble.
We become such a litigious.
Yeah, litigious. Yeah, I know what you
mean. I understand.
It's just gotten so crazy.
That's the reason.
And we used to, when we had a problem with a representative or attorney or a professional, we slugged it out at the meeting, and that was the end of it.
Yeah.
We weren't served papers the next week. Now we're served papers if you look cross-eyed across the room.
Oh, I know. Or at least you're threatened to happen.
Yeah.
So, data center regulations, nobody's had an opportunity.
No.
Warehouse standards.
Did you have a chance to talk to John over the warehouse standards yet?
John and I spoke, and John is going to get me some information. That's where we left it.
Okay.
And I'll give him a call tomorrow.
Okay.
Eastern Pike Regional Act 537 plan has basically been
approved.
Yes, it has been approved. I have the approval letter here.
Right. Yeah. There's a caveat that's included in that, which are the which are specifically the Olds ordinance. Now, the way I read this, they've included us in this. So are they going to expect us to enact an Olds ordinance in Milford Township?
I didn't see where they included us in it. When I read the approval letter, it just said the three of them.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, the Milford, the study area is Moist Fall Township, Matamoras Borough, and Milford Borough.
Because I looked through it to see if they even included it.
Yeah, so what they did, and that's not even, the bigger concern for me is that they outlined everything that's in the plan, and they said that the line, the 6-inch low pressure line along the 3-lane from the West Fall border to the Milford border is the alternative chosen. Okay. And it's only a conveyance line. No sewer connections are permitted through approval of this plan, and future connections have to be through the sewage facilities planning module. Okay. But it's the first paragraph that's really the telltale here. It says the plan's selective alternative consists of public sewer service in municipalities, the development and adoption of an on-and-on sewage management ordinance in the municipalities, and a shallow groundwater special study in Milford Borough. So Bob, I'll let you talk about what a shallow groundwater study is. Because that's where they have the berm.
But I don't really, I don't.
All the cesspools have to be, all the cesspools that are in the borough have to be analyzed at different parts of the year to see what the groundwater level is. And if the groundwater level is above any part of the cesspool, it's a malfunctioning system.
Right.
How many do you think are above?
Waiting.
Every single one of them.
Yeah.
So they're going to force the whole borough to hook up.
Actually, no. Most of these systems, I don't hit high water table at 76 inches. Most.
You don't?
No. The only places I hit any problems with water in the borough, the flood of 55 changed a couple streams.
So the other part is that they have to use USDA or PennVest financing. So that's going to require them to all pass everyone hooks up ordinances.
Yes.
So
they're stuck. This nobody's going to have to hook. But my concern is we're a pass through. We're going to be named on this.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be expected to have an Olds ordinance if that's the case, if I read that letter.
That is not the way this is worded. It says that the study area is the three municipalities.
They're letting us off the hook.
Right. And it says that the planned selective alternative consists, it's naming, if you look in the first paragraph, Kevin, it says the study area is Westfall Township, Matamoros Borough, and Milford Borough. And then here and after, all the municipalities. The planned selective alternative consists of public source service in the municipalities. Again, that's the three of them. Development and adoption of on-lot sewage management ordinance in the municipalities. That's the three of them. And a shallow groundwater study for Milford Borough. So basically, DEP is approving this plan saying that the line can go through the township. No one in the township can hook up. And this is not updating the township's plan. So the next thing you're going to hear from DEP is, "Hey, Milford Township, when was the last time you're?"
Well, we've been expecting that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So as part of any future plan, there's going to be an Olds ordinance. They're requiring everybody to do it.
So, but how do you enforce that?
The only thing you can do.
How do we enforce it?
The Olds ordinance is all about maintenance.
Everybody's going to have to pump their septic like every 3 years or something.
You don't have to call it three. You could call it four. You could call it five. And then they're going to have to send in receipts.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
The best part I've seen it enforced is what they did in Hemlock Farms. In Hemlock Farms, they divided the systems into four areas. And they did an analysis of the four areas to see who was a permanent resident, who was not a permanent resident. And they said permanent residents, somebody who lives at the house more than 180 days a year, has to pump it every 3 years, everybody else every 5 years. And phase one was the people in phase one, phase two, phase three, and phase four. So over a 4 year period, everyone's system was pumped.
Yeah, I've had this discussion with the DEP plenty of times, and they would be happy if you had a five-year pump out.
Yeah, that's the best one I've seen.
I pump mine every 2 years, all of them.
I pump mine every
3 years. I used to do it every three, but I found that every two works better.
I look at it this way. It cost me $350 to have it pumped out. That's cheap insurance for 3 years that I'm doing better.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, but that's,
I think
that it took them 5 years to get this plan approved, and now they can start moving forward on their 7-year plan.
They haven't even gotten to the mechanicals yet, though.
They have to do the mechanicals, and they changed it from a 4-inch high pressure line to a 6-inch.
No, it was never a high pressure line. They were wrong. They kept calling it, and DEP got very angry with them and said, you
but
don't even know.
But 6-inch doesn't. It's and if they sewer, the whole borough, then they're not going to be able to have grinder pumps on everything. They're going to have to put pumping stations in, aren't they?
The borough only needs one pump station, possibly two. One at the bottom of East Hartford Street where everybody can gravity feed to it. The problem is, to do that, that pump station's going to require an 8 or a 10-inch line all the way to West Fall, and they don't want to put that in.
It'd be an enormous pump station.
Yeah, it'd be a good size one. You probably
when
have.
When you say good size, do you mean like the size of this
it'd
room?
No, it wouldn't be the size of this room.
McDonald's in Homestead.
No, it wouldn't be that big. With Tam, we've had them like that with whole towns, and the pump station was maybe 30 by 40.
Well, that's bigger than this room.
No, I'm saying for a whole town, like.
Well, that's what you're talking about. You're talking
about
a town.
I mean a bigger town than that. Like a city. More like a city, I would call it then.
Because this room's only 20.
Because even Matt Morris called me and asked me.
The ball is in your court now. So they need to develop their preliminary engineering plans, send them for review, and they do need both NP, DES, and they need
what kind of money is involved in that?
I would say probably the whole system, the way it's designed, it's probably going to cost them anywhere between 35 and 40 million.
No, but they're just the design phase. What's that going to cost them?
Oh, that'll be a few million.
And where do they propose to get that money?
Unless they found an engineer that works for free.
Well, isn't that interesting? So wait and see, right?
Yep, we're in the wait and see mode. The only thing that I will say about the way it was approved, they really left themselves open to almost anyone to appeal the issuance of the permit.
Meaning?
Like any group that might be adversely affected. I could see, do you remember originally when the Delaware, the protectors of the Delaware.
The Riverkeepers?
Started attending our meeting.
Yeah.
This is so wide open with the way the approval is granted that they would have 30 days to file an appeal to the board from the issuance of the NPDES permit.
Can they agree? Can they appeal it now?
Yes, they have to appeal it now. It has to be appealed by November 3rd, 2025. Or else they waive any rights. That's why this permit that's mentioned is currently sitting in the Pennsylvania Bulletin. You can read the entire permit and what effect it has.
No.
They publish it for 30 days.
Now, what obligation do these municipalities have now? I mean, if they find out it's too much money and too much time, they just do nothing. What happens then?
They have an approved NPDES plan. They have an approved permit. Westfall has to do it. They can't say, oh, well, we didn't get financing.
Westfall.
DEP can say, you submitted a plan, we approved it. Now implement it.
Westfall has to do it now.
Well, they still can terminate it.
Well, didn't they have to prove that they had failings in order to get this?
Mm-hmm. No.
So
if they If they apply for a part two permit for construction, they can no longer withdraw.
Right.
And they have to apply for a part two permit in order to get financing.
Right.
Because you can't get financing until you have your permits. So if they decide, whoops, it's going to cost too much, DEP at any time can say, you should have thought of that before you submitted the plan. Don't you remember the whole discussion in the original where they were trying to put the weasel out language in, saying that if they couldn't obtain financing? DEP doesn't approve plans that way. They approve them this way. So here's the project-specific comments. One, the approved project will require part two permitting for construction and operation. Okay? Each permit must be submitted in name of the municipality or authority as appropriate. Issuance will be based upon a technical evaluation of the permit application supporting documentation. Starting construction prior to obtaining part two is a violation of Pennsylvania Clean Streams Law. Number two, the primary funding method identified in the plan is from U.S. Department of Agriculture, with the alternate funding method as PennVest. The environmental report required to qualify this project for federal funding has been received and approved as part of the plan. Please note that any and all permits or other authorizations needed to implement the plan will need to be obtained prior to DEP being able to recommend the project to PennVest for funding. So they're basically telling them right up front that you're going to do this. You're going to make all the applications and you're going to do this, and then we'll recommend it for funding. So they have to do it now. There's going to be no politician. They're not going to be able to call Lisa Baker and call the local representative and say, could you get us out of this? That ship has sailed.
Well, that's what you pray for. So now they're going to sewer the whole borough.
DEP.
Well, I don't think they're going to sue the whole borough, but not now. But when they get the old ordinance, they're going to make it so that within 3 years they're going to have to do another study.
Well, the DEPs are already telling them they want the whole borough sewered.
Yeah, I know they are. Where's it going to go?
I'm going to take these copies of the curative amendments with me.
Sure.
Very good, gentlemen.
Any thing for the good of the order? Any public participation? Do I have
any public?
Huh?
Is there any public there?
No.
Nope.
I'll make a motion that we adjourn and pay my bills.
Thank you very much.
Did I have a second?
Have a good night.
I'll second it.
All in favor.